Hello everyone, it's Nico Yen, Akulma Podcast. Yes, today in this episode, you're going to hear me talking to Elika Asare. She's an author, a refugee youth worker and performer, yoga instructor, and two-time graduate in St. Andrews University in Scotland, while she has lived in 10 countries throughout her life. I'm so excited to hear more about this book coming up, and I can't wait, and I'm sure all the audience and the listeners, they just want to hear you straight away to this. So please welcome to the podcast and introduce yourself.
Thank you so much for having me. My name is Elika Ansari. I'm an author and I'm just about to publish my second book, which is coming out on the 30th of September. The book is called The Five Stages of Moria, the worst refugee camp on earth. And that last bit is in quotation marks because that's the subjective opinion. The book is about is the true stories that I sort of heard while I was working in that camp. So it used to be a camp in Lesbos, in the island of Lesbos in Greece, which burned down in September 2020. It was all over the news. You might remember it. So I was there from 2018 to 2021. And I came across a lot of stories, which I sort of put into this book. It's a fiction, but it's based on true stories. And it's a multi-point of view book. So we've got five characters in the book that sort of take away the story. The five stages of Moria refers to, basically, it mirrors the five stages of grief. So it becomes like Moria becomes this kind of collective trauma that brings all these characters together.
That's amazing. I like the book already. I like the way you describe the characters as well. I can imagine it was wrote. But my question is, tell me more about what was life. What life was it in that camp in 2017 onwards? Just describe the situation there.
So 2017 was when I went to Greece for the first time. I went to Athens. I was working in a camp just outside of Athens, which was for women and children. It was a very small camp for single mothers and their children, about 100 people total. And that was the first experience I had working in a refugee camp. And I, as it was such a small camp, I grew very close to the families there. And I was working there for about 8 months, and then the family started getting moved, or their family reunification came through, so they went to other countries. They got moved into town, and that sort of, I guess when you get so close to such a community, that sort of broke my heart, even though I knew they were moving on to better places. But it was a bit of a double standard, double feeling for me. So When they all left, I also left that camp. I left my job. And then I was looking for ways since I arrived to go to this infamous camp called Moria, which is in Lesbos, which is very close to Turkey. So it's a hot spot. It's where people are arriving and they have, you know, they have their most basic needs that need to be met, basically. And I went there in 2018 and spent like 3 years working there. It was quite an experience. I wouldn't know how to sum it up in a few minutes.
I'm sure the book will summarize everything because I can imagine that's what all the stories in there, even sad stories, positive stories. That's what I like about books like yours. They raise awareness as well. There's so many people out there who have no idea about life in these camps and being a refugee or asylum seeker, or work with them. So many people are there, they have no idea because it's a lack of knowledge. The government doesn't do much about this, raising awareness and educating people about what is it like to be in the camp and work in the camp as well. I think you are doing a fantastic job to actually publish this kind of book. My question is this book for everyone?
I would say pretty much anyone who's interested in current affairs, or anyone who's basically interested to learn what was really going on in that camp. Because What I saw a lot in the time that I was there, there was a lot of media interest in the camp, and there were reporters coming and going. But what they really got were glimpses. They didn't get like the depth of the trauma that was going on there. It's such a prolonged experience. If you just go there for one day and see it, obviously you'd still be shocked because of the conditions, but you don't get a sense of what it is like to be there for such a long time, because it's a gradually decadent experience. It's gradually psychologically wears you down, whether you're a resident in fact, or whether you're even an aid worker. So I was detached from the situation in a way, but it affected me psychologically quite a lot as well, let alone how it affected people who were living there. So that's a completely different story, which I tried to capture in their voices. But again, it's been made fictional for various reasons.
The next question, I think, is a question as well as like trying to understand where the idea came from. For example, the worst refugee camp on earth. Where that idea came from?
That's actually, it's good to mention that's in quotation marks. And that's actually the way some of the residents refer to the camp. Now, it's subjective. Obviously, if you you know, look for facts and evidences, there are probably camps out there that are were in worse conditions without access to drinking water, for example. Camps in Bangladesh, Pakistan, they might be worse. But this is how people living in that camp experienced it. And the thing that really stands out to me sometimes, which again, I think you wouldn't have seen if you just went there once or twice, or, you know, if you went, kept going back there every so often, you would see it if you had been there for a long time, a year, 2 years, 3 years, longer. So I was working with Doctors Without Borders for a while. One of our field coordinators, who had been working in a bunch of other places with different needs, with different lacks, he'd been working in Ebola regions, he'd been working in the Democratic Republic of Congo, so some very difficult contexts. And he actually said, Moria is worse because of the psychological impact it has on people. So we had children aged 10 talking about committing suicide. We had children, you know, thinking about self-harm, doing self-harm. I mean, the psychological impact of that place was huge. And again, you would only see this, you would only perceive this if you had been there for a long time.
Oh, that's great. I was reading some of your work and some great, great thing you've done, especially the one I'm really, really want to know more a bit about now is it that project you founded in 2021. It's called the Little Lotus Learning Center. Can you tell me more about that?
Yes. So that was a project that I started to offer recreational activities and psychosocial activities to children from a refugee asylum seeking background. And my aim also was to bring them together with local children in a like to work towards integration. So the reason I thought of that project was in the town in Lesbos, in Mytilini, there were two parks right next to each other. And they were referred to as, one was referred to as the refugee park, and the other one was referred to as the Greek people's park. So I thought this can't be, you know, this doesn't make sense. They're right next to each other. And it people actually kept to it. Like refugee families went to that park, Greek families went to the other park, and they were right next to each other. So I started our activities. I started bringing the refugee children into the other park. And we did a bunch of different things. We made balloon animals. We did arts and crafts. We had a dance-like performance. They were booked to perform in a music festival in July, which they did magnificently. We had like role playing games. We had a bunch of different activities. And what I was seeing a lot was a lot of the Greek children were joining in the activities. We had a lot of Roma children also joining in, which there is quite a bit of discrimination against Roma people in that island. I'm not saying everyone, I don't want to generalize, but there is. So we had, so this was an opportunity to bring them all together and just, you know, make them coexist through play and recreation, which is the best thing I think we could do on a low budget as well.
So is that project still ongoing? Or?
So actually at the moment, no, because when I left in September 2021, I had a colleague that took over as a coordinator. And it went on for a little while longer. It became a bit more difficult with regard to space, because in the summer, obviously, we could be out and about, but in winter, we had to be indoors. But it went on for like until spring this year. And then she had to leave as well. So at the moment, it's on hold.
Oh, thank you for sharing this, because personally, I feel like your project should be a continue. I think it's a really, really, really wonderful idea and amazing, especially when including kids on the playground, the pain of division as well. And while in the process of another division, I can imagine these kids grow up in a scary world. But I'm interested because in the beginning, we talked about your book. It's called Five Stages of Moral Camp. But I want you to maybe just sneak me into the characters. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I want to know a bit of our characters. And yeah, if you can take me through the how the characters came or created for this book.
I had to give a reflection of everyone. So we've got one of the characters. She's a single mother with three children. We've got one of the characters who's an aid worker. So based on myself, we've got an unaccompanied minor. So we had, like, while I was working there, more than 2,000 unaccompanied minors in that camp at some point. We've got a little girl. So she's like maybe 8-9-year-old girl who saves her brother from a fire. So there was a point when the part of the camp caught fire. This is not the 2020 fire. Fires were quite regular because of the conditions there. Their caravan caught fire and she pulled her brother out of the burning caravan. So this is based on a true story. So we've got that little girl and we've got a young man who falls in love and he's a community representative in that camp. So these are the five characters. So we've got, you know, men, women, children, aid workers. I try to give a kind of overarching representation through different perspectives. Again, it's a generalization for sure, but I tried as best as I could using, you know, creative tools to give some kind of a representation.
Okay, thank you for coming to the podcast. Really, I enjoy talking to you, Alika. It's like, so I always admire authors, book writers, storytellers, all the people keep these memories alive. It's really, really amazing. But I'm going to ask one question in two. Okay. So how crowded of these refugee camps there were when you were there? And the other one, would you go back and work on the refugee camps again? Oh.
Well, that camp, so Moria burned down in 2020. There was another camp constructed almost immediately in its place. It's known as Mavrovoni Camp. Some refer to it as Moria 2. And actually the story of how that camp was constructed is also quite interesting, but I won't go into it right now. And at the moment, there are under 2,000 people there. So at the height of when I was working in Moria, there were over 20,000 people, more than 20,000, and the camp was constructed for 3,000 to 3,500. So you can imagine the overcrowdedness. Basically, so I've left now. I left the island. Things seem to have, I don't want to say they've calmed down. Obviously, there's still a lot of needs that are not being met. But at the moment, I don't see myself feeling a need to go back. In London, I'm also working with refugees and asylum seekers at an organization called New Citizens Gateway. I'm a youth worker. So I am still working with kids. I'm still like, I continue in that line of work. But you never know. I mean, at the moment, I don't have any plans to go back. But I am trying to resurrect Little Lotus Learning Center, even if at a distance.
Yeah, what a pleasure I have to talking to you, Elika, about your second book. I'm so excited as well to really be part of this project and part of the podcast and promoting this fantastic, fantastic book coming up. And for the audience, thank you so much for listening and sharing it with your networks as well. To be a crowdfunding for Elika's book, Elika Zuari's book. So the money raised will first go towards the design, editing, formatting, and promotion of the book, which will be published by the ARC Bond on the 30th of September. And you can follow us on Facebook, on Anchor, Spotify, and Instagram. And you can go to www.wetalkpodcast.co.uk. And thank you, and please share it.